Welcome to Couch Buddies. I'm Kia.
I'm Michelle.
And we are going with what I'm going to call tropes of the movie. We're going with the movie A Walk in the Clouds.
A Walk in the Clouds is a 1995 film. It stars Keanu Reeves. Forgive me for the rest of, for several of these names I'm going to mess up. How about you just say her name? The first name is...
I think it's Aitara.
Aitara or Aitana? It's got an N.
I'm sorry. It is Aitana.
Aitana Sanchez Gijon? I haven't spoken Spanish since that class in college, so I apologize.
The one that we were in with the...
With the theater people.
Yes, the theater people.
So yeah, Anthony Quinn, Deborah Messing is in a
Deborah Messing has... Deborah Messing has two... Two scenes in this movie.
But she is a presence throughout this movie. It was directed by Alfonso Arau. Okay. Yeah. He also directed Like Water for Chocolate. He does a voice in Coco. He's Papa Julio. And then the writers, I'm only going to go with the writers of the screenplay because it's actually based on a story, on another story, and there are three writers for that as well. But I just went with the actual writers of this movie. Harvey Weitzman, who did not write much, he wrote episodes of The Facts of Life, Love Boat, Three's Company, Donnie and Marie.
But
like one or two episodes of each of those, never like.
Yeah. Sorry, just the mention of Donnie and Marie, like my heart just like seized up for a second. Like, oh man, I had forgotten that existed.
Mark Miller, who did episodes of like Different Strokes and The Munsters Today, which was a show apparently in like the 80s. Yeah. So he wrote for that. So he was actually more of an actor. Like he had only written about 10 things, but he'd been in like 50 things, but always just like one-offs, never like more than a few episodes. The other writer, and this one's the more, we're going to say...
Established?
No, he wasn't established necessarily. Well, yeah, I guess he was established by then. Robert Mark Kamen, he wrote The Fifth Element, Taken, The Karate Kid 3, The Transporter. Like, very different from what we're watching. But also not, because love is important in The Fifth Element. But I was just like, that is three people that I would not have expected to work together. So that's interesting.
It's very eclectic, yeah.
Yeah, he would have been the younger of these two other people.
Yeah.
So yeah, interesting.
I can imagine.
This movie, Walk in the Clouds, has an IMDb score of 6.7 out of 10.
That's a whole lot higher than I anticipated.
Rotten Tomatoes gives it a 44% for... That's critically. I will say, I believe it's like in the 60s or 70s for audience. Roger Ebert gave it 4 out of 4.
Yes. Yeah.
Which is surprising a little bit.
Well, and I was reading in the trivia, like, he listed it as, like, one of, like, his top 10 movies for, like, the year that it came out or something 95? Like that. Yeah. That surprised me. But if you have not seen the movie... the synopsis is, a married soldier returning from World War II poses as a pregnant woman's husband to save her from her father's anger and honor.
Yes. And fully up front for me, I think I've said it before on here, maybe. I love Keanu Reeves.
Yes.
I love him a lot. So just know that I'm biased.
Oh,
100%. Know that going in.
But, you know, I've mentioned this before, like, when we talked about the lake house.
Yes.
Like, once again, reminding people, specifically you, I love Keanu Reeves. I really do. But I am not, you know, it's like, I also understand. It's like, as much as I love him, there are times, like, his delivery of things is a little stilted.
Yes. Yes.
And, yeah, so, like...
I agree. I love him. I love him completely, and I still say the same thing.
Yes.
I mean, one of my favorite movies as a child was the 1986...
Oh, my God.
The 1986 Babes at Toyland with Drew Barrymore and Keanu Reeves. So...
I haven't seen that in years.
It's on YouTube, the whole thing. You can find it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
I know.
Saying.
I know what I'm doing.
But I loved that movie so much growing up.
Yeah.
Because I had two different Babes in Toyland growing up. I had that one and the 60s one with Frankie and Annette. which are both like very strangely different movies.
It feels to me like there is another one.
Oh, there's March of the Wooden Soldiers with Abbott and Costello.
No.
Which is also Babes in Toyland.
No, that's not what I'm thinking at all.
There probably is. Those are the ones I know.
I was going to say, it feels like there's another Babes in Toyland that I have seen.
There is a cartoon one, but I never saw it.
No, I don't know. But like,
those are the two that I watched the most.
Yeah, I need to rewatch
My grandma movies. Owned the Babes in Toyland 1960s. She recorded off TV somewhere. And my family actually owned, like, in the box, the VHS copy.
Wow.
Of the Keanu Reeves Babes in Toyland, yeah. By, I think it was, like, Orion Pictures.
Okay.
Like if I remember correctly. Yeah. Because, like, I loved that movie. It was just one I watched all the time. So, yeah, Keanu Reeves, that was, like, Bill and Ted I didn't watch until I was way older.
Yeah.
So, for me, Keanu Reeves was that guy.
Well, yeah.
Was that guy from Babes in Toyland.
Yeah,
Man, I gotta rewatch that.
Man, like, I saw Bill and Ted. Like, I was too young to, like, really understand it, so I don't have, like, a love of those movies like other people do.
Yeah, I watched it, like, college, maybe.
But the movies Parenthood and Permanent Record, like those gave me like an eternal love for Keanu Reeves.
Well, then in college when I was dating Josh, basically one of the prerequisites for dating Josh was we had to watch The Matrix, which he found out I'd never seen it, and he had to work because he worked in the computer lab at college.
Yes.
And basically, we were that couple, though. We were so annoying. We closed ourselves up in the office, and I brought my laptop and speakers because I had a pretty decent laptop and speakers.
Yeah.
And so we set those up in the office, and people would have to knock on the door and come get him if they needed help. And then we snuggled up on the couch that they had in the office.
Yes. A favorite pastime at our college was taking laptops somewhere and watching movies. Yeah.
But that's how I watched all three Matrix films, was like that. I say films lightly on that.
That's how I was forced to watch Rocky Horror.
But yeah, so that's like, I watched him that, and then Josh and I love John Wick.
Mm-hmm.
The Lake House we've already talked about on here. I am really excited because not too long after the airing of this, Cyberpunk 2077 is going to be out.
Yes.
And he is in that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a fully captured and voiced character by him. He looks just like him.
Yes, it does. It's
freaking awesome. I'm a video game. Like, that's one of my favorite things to do is play like a good RPG. And so I am ready to take my hands into that. But yeah, so yeah, love Keanu. Totally biased going in.
And I have to say this because this movie, 95, correct? So I was probably in about sixth grade by the time it started airing on like HBO and stuff. And as I've talked about like many times before, we had, you know, the East Coast, West Coast channels. And so like, you know, a movie comes on HBO in the morning and then it comes on again in the afternoon and then it comes on again late at night. And so that's just on one HBO channel, but when you had the East Coast, West Coast, it's like you also get to see it again like 2 hours later. Yeah. And so this was one of those movies that I watched all of the time, around 96. So when I was about 12 or so.
Yeah.
And man, I watched this movie a lot. As I said, it is basically tropes the movie.
Yeah.
It really is. It's tropes the movie, but I love it so fucking much. Like, I have such a soft spot in my heart for this movie. I'm like, there will probably be very few things that I say about it that I don't like.
This is my first time watching it, so.
God, I'm so glad we watched it together.
I think I've seen the very beginning of it before.
Yeah.
Maybe not the very, very beginning. I saw them walking down toward the house before. I've seen that scene before. So I haven't seen the whole thing, but I've seen, like, that bit.
Yeah.
I think, like I said, I think it was just on TV or something. Maybe you were here and you're like, oh, I love this movie. And so we watched like Possibly. 2 minutes of it.
Possibly.
But anyway.
The movie begins with Keanu's character, Paul Sutton. He's on he's disembarking the ship.
Yeah, he's coming home to his wife, who he met on a Friday, married, and then shipped out on Monday. So barely knows this woman.
Yeah. But
as was a thing then.
Yes. And it's, you know, very prevalent in, you know, post-World War II stories.
Yeah.
there's a book that I had read that takes place during World War II, and it basically talks about how, you know, like, at the time, you know, it was a thing that was actually kind of encouraged, of, like, you know, ladies, like, this is a thing that, like, you could do for a soldier.
Yep, like, do your part for the...
Yeah, do your part for the war effort, you know?
Go out with a soldier.
Yeah, and so
there's the movie On the Town, mm-hmm. which is literally three soldiers on leave, and all three ladies are more than willing to do their part.
Yeah,
for that.
Yeah, pretty much. And you know, so like that. So yeah, it was not uncommon.
Yeah.
For not uncommon, you know, for people to have those like very hasty yeah. marriages, and so you know, Paul gets off the ship and he's looking for his wife because he's written her letters, you know, and told her like, "Hey, I'm coming home." And like, she's not there. And so he heads home
to the apartment.
He heads to the apartment and, you know, he comes in and she's so like surprised to see him. You know, Betty, his wife, Betty, played by Deborah Messing in her film debut, by the way, played, you know, so Betty is just like so shocked to see him and like jumps up and like runs to him and she's like, "I had no idea you were coming." And he's like, you didn't get my letters. And she's like, "Oh, I got your letters.
I got all your letters.
Like, I got all of your letters, but like, you know, like, and I started reading them, but like, I just couldn't stand, you know, all that fighting." And I like, we see like, she just basically has a trunk full of like all of the letters that she has written. And he's like, "But I wrote you practically every day." And she's like, "I know, I started reading them, but."
And all I had to do was get the letter. And I knew you were alive and okay. And that's all I cared about.
Yeah. That's all that I cared about. And he's just like, And she just immediately starts in on like, "Okay, well, you know, now that you're home, like we can start doing this, this, and this." And she,
and I checked, your old job is still available. They said, "Come back as soon as you're like, come back to Monday if you're ready." And he's like, "I wanted some time." And,
you know, and he's like, "Well, you know, but that's not really what I wanted." And he's like, "I explained all this in the letters." And she's like, "Oh, are we back to those letters?" And,
"Do you want to read the letters? I'll read the letters."
Yeah. And so basically it's like, she kind of like
seduces him.
She seduces him as a distraction.
Cause she's like, basically like, but she says, "I want things."
Yes, she does.
So I was like, very materialistic. Like, she's like, "I've had, you know, time. I want things. I want."
Well, you know, she's talking, you know, how basically yeah. she's had nothing.
Yeah.
And like, now she wants things.
So she needs him to go to work so she can
yeah.
have things.
And
she's trying to better herself by listening to a album and perfect like her elocution. Yeah. Yeah.
And the whole thing is that he is a chocolate salesman.
Yep.
And so he has a box of sample chocolates and stuff like that. And so basically the next morning he's, you know, he puts on his suit and
his uniform.
Puts on his uniform
because they said if he wears a uniform, he gets his job back because people will buy more from a soldier.
Yes,
returned for more than they will mm-hmm. from.
And so he leaves her early the next morning and sets out
to go to Sacramento
to sell some chocolate
because they're in San Francisco.
Yes, San Francisco on his way to Sacramento.
Yeah, and he gets on the train and literally runs into a very nice woman. Like, she drops her bag at his feet.
She's trying to put her suitcase in like the overhead bin.
Yeah,
and like she can't get it to fit, and like it falls out of her hand, and like just it breaks open, and so like yeah. stuff goes everywhere, and she has a photo frame in it. And the frame breaks and she just gets distraught and is just like, "Oh, he's going to kill me." And Paul just immediately he's like, "No, it's like, it's just glass. It's okay."
Paul
like,
is a white knight.
He really is. And I love it so much.
So he bends down and helps her. He's like, "I'm sure it'll be fine. You can just replace that with a plane of glass. It's really easy."
Yeah.
And like helps her repack her bag. And then she like starts crying and throws up on him. Which thankfully they didn't show.
Yes, I'm always very grateful for that.
Yeah, and so then you see him in the bathroom trying to wash his uniform out, so he changes into his suit.
Yeah, well, and like when, you know, like, while he was trying to like help her the train lurched. Yeah. And so, like, he literally, like, fell over on her. Like, they dropped their tickets.
And their tickets got mixed up.
Yeah. So it's a whole thing.
So he's surprised when he gets basically thrown off before Sacramento, because when he got on the train, his ticket went to Sacramento.
Yeah.
And so he gets on a bus to go to Sacramento, and she happens to be on the same bus. And they converse, and he tells her that story, and she goes, "Oh no, I think this is yours." And she's like, "I thought it was a mistake on my ticket."
Yeah.
Which, because their names aren't on them or anything like that. No, so there was no assigned seat or anything like that. It's just the ticket.
Yeah.
So yeah. So she's like, "I'm so sorry. This is all my fault. Like, I've done, like," and then some men get on the train or on the bus and start bothering her. And once again, he's a white knight. And so he's like, "Leave her alone. Lady said, go away."
Well, like, okay. It's not just like they start bothering her.
Oh yeah, they're dicks.
It's like, it was like upsetting. Cause like I had completely forgotten about this part.
Yeah.
Like I remembered like the train, and then I remember like her waiting on like the side of the road, but yeah. Like I didn't remember the bus. But basically it's like, you know, she is an attractive woman sitting alone.
Yeah.
And a guy comes and sits down next to her, and his buddy takes the seat behind them, and they start talking about how attractive she is and
touching her hair.
And like they just start hitting on, and he's like, "Oh, you know, my name is blah blah blah. This is so and so." And he's like, "And your name is?" And she just says, "Not interested." And he's like, "Oh, you know, like I had a girlfriend who used to say she wasn't interested." He's like, "But that's not what she means. You know, that's not what she really meant. Yeah, that's not what she really meant, was it?" And his friend is just like, "No, blah blah blah. That's not what she meant at all." And like they just start getting like very threatening, and it's just
Paul just reaches over, touches the guy on the arm, and said, "She said,
yeah, no. The lady said she's not interested. Leave her alone.
Go on." And the guys get up and throw a punch at him. He doesn't actually throw a punch. He just ducks out of the way and like knocks him down in their butt, essentially. Yeah. And
they get kicked off the bus.
All three get kicked off the bus for fighting. And I'm like, come on. Cause like, and by the way, that bus driver's totally been a bus driver on other things.
Oh yes. I cannot remember the actress's name.
Me neither, but she's a character actress that always does that kind of thing. But yeah, so they get kicked off the bus, and then
he's back
to walking.
Yeah, he's walking down the road.
The other guys go the other way.
Yeah.
And he comes across her sitting on the side of the road because this was her stop, but she doesn't want to finish the walk home. And she starts crying, and that's when she confesses to him that...
Well, hold on. Like, first, you know, like, I love it because, like, she's sitting on her suitcase, and she is just... like sobbing, and like he just comes up, and he's like, "I don't think we've been properly introduced," because like
this is the third time they've met.
This is the third time in one day that they've met, and you know, so he's just like, "I don't think we've been properly introduced," and so you know, he gives her his name, and you know, she says that she's Victoria Aragon, and he's like, "I can't really," he says something about, you know, like the bus, and she's like, "Oh, you know, this is my stop." Yeah. And they look like they're literally in the middle of nowhere. And he's just kind of looking around. He's like, "Okay, I get it. You're waiting for a ride." And just like fresh tears. She just starts crying, and she's like, "No, a miracle." And he just immediately just kind of like drops down in front of her and is like, no, it's okay." Like
crying woman, panic man. Well, but he didn't panic.
Like
he was just trying to fix it immediately. Yeah, I want to help you.
I think that is my favorite thing. It's just like he's just immediately, and it's not even in that like dude way of here's a problem, let's fix it.
No, it was how can I help?
How can I help?
What do you need? Yeah, and so yeah, it comes out that she.
She hands him a letter, and he opens the letter, and he reads off. He's like, you know, "Victoria, blah blah blah." It's like, I'm
a free spirit.
He's like, "I'm not meant for the conventions of this world. I am a free spirit."
To which interrupted the movie and went, "Men are the worst."
It was delicious.
Like I was like, I haven't seen this movie, but I sense what's coming here. Men are the worst.
Just a face palm and "men are the worst." It was so good. But you know, and so like I said, she's just still crying, and And she's just, you know, she once again says, you know, it's like, he's, you know, he's going to kill me. He's like, what? She's like, you know, my father.
Well, he's like, I'm sorry that your father's not going to kill you if you're broken up with. Like, he's really confused. He hasn't connected A to
and,
B,
and to which
is fair.
Yeah, which then, you know, she tells him, you know, but I'm pregnant. And he's like, oh.
Well, he's still not going to kill you. He loves you. Like, he would never.
To which she immediately interrupts him with, I will kill anyone who dishonors my family. How many times has he said that? And basically, like, it's all I heard growing up. And he's like, he is going to kill me. And so Paul, being Paul.
Sorry, this is on the letter, though. When she finally admits she's pregnant, it also comes out the dude was her professor.
Yes!
Super sketch. I don't care that she's getting her master's. Still super sketchy.
Mm-hmm.
Dick.
But yeah, so it's then, you know, he says, you know, he basically, he's like, well, you know, like, what, you know, what,
you know, she had a husband.
Yeah, like, she, you know, she's like, you know, he's gonna kill me, like, for coming home this way, you know, like, without a husband. It's like, what if you had a husband? And she's like, you know, a husband who what? Like, comes home with me and then just, like, leaves the next morning and like, abandons me. And he goes, yeah, you know, and, like, leaves a letter in the mailbox.
He's like, it
happens. You know, like, explaining, you know, why, like, he can't deal with, you know, this family, blah, blah, blah. He's like, you know, it happens. And she's like, yeah, that's a great idea. But, you know, there's nobody. He's like, well, there's me.
Like, well, she starts to walk away, and he's like,
Victoria, there's
like,
me.
What are you doing? Like, I'm right here.
Oh, yeah. So... So they
start walking. They get to know each other a little bit as they're going, and he says, "You know, my wife." Something about his wife and how he wrote her every day.
Because she asks him. She asks him what it was like in the war, like with fighting and stuff. And he tells her, he's like, as soon as the shooting starts, he's like, your mind just goes blank. He said, you just kind of like go to some other place. And she's like, well, then he's like, where did you go? And he says, I would write letters, you know, like in my head, like I would write letters to my wife. And then later I would, you know, put them down on paper. And she's like, well, what were your letters about? And you're like, what did you think about? And he says, you know, I thought about what I'd like our life to be like when I got home, you know, and talking about having, you know, a house and kids and a dog and like a good job and all of these things. And she just... For, you know, stating for the first time, like, a refrain that is mentioned a couple of times through this movie, and something that you and I said frequently, it's like, she tells him, like, you're very kind, you know, you're very kind to do this for me.
Well, but before that, she says she must have cherished every letter.
Oh, yeah, she must.
And he's just like,
yep, yeah, every letter, I forgot about that.
I wrote that down, because I was like, oh, not so much.
Yeah, it's like, your wife, she must have cherished every letter. Yep, every letter. You know, but Victoria tells him, like, you're very kind to do this for me. And he says, well, and the baby, like, I'm doing it for both of you. She's like, well, then we both thank you.
Yeah.
And,
so we get to the
oh, well, hold on. Before they actually get to the house and, you know, like, dad starts shooting at them. We get like, oh, you know, something that we complain about in fake married tropes is like people not thinking things through. They don't think everything through, but he at least has the cognizance to say, well, if we're going to do this, let's do it right. And he takes out his box of chocolates that he's, you know, supposed to be selling. And there is one specific kind of chocolate that has a gold sort of like foil ring around it. And he takes one out and he puts one on her hand and then he puts the other on his own. So I'm like, okay, like he actually thought about wedding rings. Very nice. I'm impressed.
But then they're looking out over the vineyard.
Yes.
And that's when she tells him the name in Spanish. And then she says it means the clouds.
It's Las Nubes.
Yeah. But it means the clouds, which is the walk in the clouds. Title of the movie. They did the thing.
Yeah.
He does the thing at the end of the movie, toward the end of the movie. So, but yeah, so they, and then they start to walk into the vineyard and shots are fired and he tackles her to the ground like the hero he is.
Well, yeah, and I'm like, and you know, like a man like who has literally just come back from war.
The other thing we haven't really mentioned is every time he goes to sleep, he dreams.
He has nightmares
of this bombed out orphanage that they found, and, you know, makes him jerk awake or whatever. So I was like, he's got slight PTSD.
Yes.
Pretty clearly. And so, yeah, gun immediately. Woman on the, like, protect the woman. Throw her stuff out. Who cares about our stuff?
Yeah. Like, he's like, drop the stuff. Like,
don't shoot.
Yeah, pull her to the unarmed. Ground.
Yeah. Yeah, so...
And it turns out to be Dad.
She's like, hi, Papa. And they go home, and she introduces him as her husband, and no one can believe she married this gringo, especially Papa.
Oh, yeah.
And Papa goes off.
Which, yeah.
Everyone else in the family is kind. Nobody's saying anything at first.
Like, they're all kind of surprised.
Yeah.
As you would be.
Yeah.
To, like you're, you know... Your daughter has come home, you know, like she's gone to the city, like to go to college and like been living on her own. And suddenly she comes home and says she's married.
Well, and
to this dude,
as it turns out, Papa was planning her marriage to a man in Mexico that she never met.
Yeah.
And she wasn't down with that anyway.
Yeah.
But so finally his father comes in.
Yes. And her victorious father is named Alberto.
Alberto. Yeah, I don't have their names.
And I do. And his father, like Alberto's father, is Don Pedro.
Yeah.
And he's played by Anthony Quinn.
Yes.
And so Don Pedro comes in and sees Paul and is kind of, you know, taking stock of like what's going on. And Alberto just like comes up to his father and he's like, you are the head of the family. Like, say something. And like Don Pedro's like kind of walks up to Paul, kind of you know, looks him up and down, kind of sizes him up, and is just like, "Welcome to our happy family."
Well, the dad asks what he did for the Papa, the Alberto asks what he does for a living, and he goes, "I sell chocolate," and that makes it even worse.
Don Pedro's just like, "Gimme!"
Yeah. Once he says that, he goes, "Can I try this chocolate you sell?" Basically, so he pulls it out, and Don Pedro's like, "Yes, welcome to the family." Yes, finally. Because he spends the rest of the movie eating this dude's chocolate.
Yes,
like eating the chocolate from his grandson-in-law. He thinks.
Yeah,
but yeah. So Grandpa accepts them.
And yeah, so
everybody else can.
So does mom. Yeah, everybody.
It's like, just Alberto that doesn't.
Yes. It's just, yeah. Dad's mad.
So they go and they have dinner.
I love there's a little moment of like, you know, everybody kind of disperses and we get Victoria in the kitchen with her grandmother and her mom, and they're basically like, you know, it's like, okay, like we get it. Like you met, like you fell in love, like you married this guy. It's like, okay, it's fine. It's like, you could have given us a little warning. It's like, well, I wanted it to be a surprise. Well, okay. You like, good job. Job well done.
And your dad just doesn't like change.
Like, yeah. Like your dad doesn't like change. And like, and grandmother, like her grandmother has the line that I like, and it's like, only with the vines does he have patience.
Yeah.
Like with everything else in his life, like he, you know, he's a storm.
He expects it to be his way or nobody's, or no way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like, but only with the vines does he have patience.
And so we have dinner, and I love the shot. The actual, like, talking about filming for a second. It starts in the mirror, but you don't know that. And so
I had completely forgotten that, and because it shows, I had completely forgotten that it was in a mirror, because it shows like Don Pedro comes up to Victoria and he's noticing her wedding ring. And so like he takes her hand and is kind of admiring it. And I was like, that's the wrong hand.
But it's in a mirror.
And then it slowly pivots. And I was like, oh, okay, that makes so much more sense.
Because you've got Paul standing up at the table. Like, and it's just a really beautiful shot. It's hard to describe it, but it's a beautiful shot of the way it's done. I loved it.
There is a lot of this movie that, like, I had just kind of forgotten. It's a very pretty movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in terms of cinematography, it's like, it's almost like, it almost feels like a painting come to life.
Yeah.
It is... it's just so pretty. And like, and I don't just necessarily mean like the scenes that are set like in the vineyard and things like it. There's just a lot, like, I don't know. It's just pretty and I like it.
Well, and like at dinner, Alberto decides to start grilling him. And we find out Paul's an orphan.
Yeah.
From Illinois.
I did kind of love the moment because like I said, they've kind of thought some things through, like they've got a cover story, but they didn't talk about the necessary detail of like, how did we meet?
Yeah.
And so the family asks, how did you meet? And he's like, well, I was on leave in June. And she's like, no. It was July, because it was after I had moved to the city. It's like, oh yes, I'm sorry. It was July. And he's like, it was at the USO. And it's basically like she just kind of pales for a second, and her mom goes, I didn't know you worked at the USO. And she's like, oh, I didn't.
Which once again could have easily been fixed by simply saying it was technically right outside, because I was going somewhere, yeah, and we ran into each other. But
they don't have a chance, because she's like, oh, well, I didn't. And then her dad immediately goes, well, then what were you doing in a hall filled with strange men?
and then they move on.
they are saved by Abuelita, because the grandmother, like, sees Don Pedro is, like, very, very liberally, like, salting his food.
And
she's just like, Don Pedro! And he's just like, he starts to say something in Spanish, and then I love it. Like, he immediately corrects himself and apologizes to Paul, and then continues in English. And he's like, my father used salt every day. Like, and he lived to be 102.
My grandfather.
Like, my grandfather. He salt like the fish in the sea. Like, and he lived to 106. And the entire thing just gets derailed.
And then he goes back to salting, and she glares, and he stops. Like, it's beautiful.
Which, when the scene ends, like, and it's kind of panning back out, like, it's panning out of the dining room, his back is to the camera, and you just see, like, very furtively, it's the last bit of the shot, you just see him kind of, like, pick up the salt shaker and just very quickly, like, shake it. Like, I'd never noticed that before.
Because then after that moment, it goes back to, he's being grilled again. So, oh, so she married a man with no past and a man with no future. Because what was selling chocolate as a future?
Yeah, well, because they ask, where were you born? And
that's when the orphan stuff comes out.
They ask where he's from, and I can't remember. It's somewhere in Illinois.
Moline, Illinois.
I couldn't remember the name of the town.
Yeah.
He's like, that's where he grew up. And they say, oh, well, and your family, are they still there? And he says, oh, no, I grew up in a home. Well, whose home? I'm sorry. I grew up in an orphanage. And then that's when dad says, oh, it's like, okay, like, my daughter, like, can trace her ancestry back to some of, like, back for 400 years, yeah, back to some of the finest families in Mexico. And it's like, and now, like, she's married a man with no past. Like, to and which, worse, yeah, like, probably a man with no future.
To which my brain immediately started the importance of being earnest in my head. Because I love, number one, I love that movie, but I also love that play. And there's a scene in it where Ernest/Jack, depending on where you are in the city, or you're in the city or the country.
Yeah.
Ernest goes to Lady Bracknell to ask for her daughter's hand in marriage. He's one of many people. And so she begins to ask him about, you know, mm-hmm, his thing. And he says, she's like, what about your parents? Well, unfortunately, I've lost both my parents. And she goes, to lose one parent, sir, is a disgrace. But to lose two, or is a tragedy. To lose two seems like clumsiness or carelessness. And then she starts to ring, and he goes, well, it would be more accurate to say they lost me. I was found in a cloakroom at Victoria Station. Found in a cloakroom. Then she rings her bell, which makes him leave. And it just,
right,
it made, like, I immediately was like, okay, so he's going full Lady Bracknell right here.
Right. Like, oh, man.
Like, it was just, because I love that play. I performed part of that play at school, and, like, I just love that play. So, yeah, I was like, this is a Lady Bracknell moment. This is going to end badly. So he gets up and storms. He says, excuse me, he's very polite.
Yes.
As he gets up and walks out of the room because he's about to lose his temper.
Yeah. And so Victoria follows him, and they have...
And she's pissed on his behalf.
Oh, she's very, very angry on his behalf. And she's just like, I am so sorry for them. You know, and he kind of tells her, like, he ends up telling her, like, you know, like, when I was in the orphanage... He says, you know, like, I would look up every night. He's like, I would wish on every star that I could see. And he says, you know, and it all boiled down to one wish. And he's like, and I would wish for basically what you have in there. And, you know, and she kind of, they do that thing of, you know, she's like, oh yeah, people who like never leave you alone and like are constantly criticizing your life and
tell you what to do
and telling you what to do. And he's like, well, it's better than having nobody to tell you. And you know, they just kind of have, you know, just this little, you know, they just have this little, and he's like, you know, just this little exchange. And then that's when he tells, he's like, you know, it's like, basically like what it boils down to, like he tells her, he's like, you know, like, yeah, it's like, sure, you know, it could upset me. He's like, but then, you know, like, I thought about it and I was like, you know, what if it were me? He's like, you know, what if, like, you know, my only daughter came home and told me, you know, that she had married this complete stranger. And he's like, how would I react? He's like, and it would basically be the same way.
And she says, you'd never be like
that. He's like, you would never do that.
And he says, I don't know. And he kind of gives this little grin, which was super cute.
Mm-hmm.
So then they're going to bed. And
I love her mother.
Her mother is helping her make the bed because this bed has been slept on in their wedding night by her grandmother and her. It was part of her dowry.
Yes. Like, and, you know, like basically, like, yeah, since her grandmother.
And that is, like, her grandmother, her mother, and her, it is the family tradition that a bride sleeps in it on their wedding night. And to which she goes, I know it's not your wedding night, but we're going to pretend it is, basically.
Yeah.
Because, like, I said so. And so she helps fold back the thing, and she's like, you know, it makes for a sturdy marriage, and something like that. Plus, and then she's like, we can sleep in Pedro's room.
Yeah, we
that was just her little brother. So we can sleep in Pedro's room. And she's like, no, on that small bed.
On that tiny bed?
You need room to maneuver. And Paul's face is just like, that's good. Like he's trying not to, like, giggle or laugh.
It's just...
But he's like, mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's very, like, you just a kind of, mm-hmm, kind of just, like, looks down, kind of, mm-hmm, okay.
And so then she finally leaves the room, and he's setting up a bed on the floor, and they have this conversation, and she basically asks him, like, something like, do you actually believe that someone basically fall in love with her, essentially, after everything?
Well, I can't remember how the conversation starts, but mm-hmm. He, you know, he tells her, he's like, he says, you know, like, there, you know, there's someone out there for you, Victoria. And he's, you know, like, I believe that there's a perfect someone for everyone, someone who'll love you no matter what. And she says, well, would you marry someone if it wasn't your child? And he says, well, if I loved her.
Yeah.
And to which then, we
go over to Alberto and Mama,
who are sleeping in Pedro's room.
And, yeah, because that's their room that the two are taking. And but his wife basically tells him, go apologize or you get nothing, and he wants something, so he's gonna go apologize for being a jerk. And he knocks on the door, and so
they very quickly like try to pull, you know,
and
pull the covers, like, he jumps in bed.
Alberto has, like, perception off the scale. Like, he's
definitely got, like, a 25 passive perception.
Oh, yeah. So, like, because he goes in and he apologizes to him, but he notices the quilt at the corner of the bed.
Which down the floor.
Which, for the record, is still easily explainable. Like, oh, yeah. He's jumping to conclusions.
There is nothing in this movie that you couldn't, like, easily explain away.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but the quilt on the floor is, like, maybe he's a hot sleeper and doesn't want the quilt on the bed. Like, that's an easy... It's an easy thing.
Well, I'm like, okay. But, like, he's already, like, so fucking suspicious.
It's true.
That, like, he, like, not, like, yes. I'm like, he has every right to be. Like, I'm not gonna deny that. Like, he has every right to be suspicious. But it's, like, because, you know, like, he's going to be, like, seeing signs of, like, he's going to be seeing suspicious things everywhere because he's looking for them.
And so he leaves the room after apologizing and giving, like, an eyebrow at the quilt on the floor that they tried to hide, but it just
didn't quite hide it.
And those two are sitting in bed now, and Paul's arms are around Victoria, and there's this, like, really subtle lean in.
Uh-huh.
Like, they both are kind of, like, teeter-tottery leaning in, like, no, yes, 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 no, yes, yes, yes.
Yeah.
Like, it's so subtle, like, I could almost, it almost didn't look like they were moving a couple of times.
Yeah.
But it was like, did the camera move, or did they, like, no, that was them.
Yeah, it's very, it's like, they're complete strangers. Like,
but there's, you know, a connection there.
Yeah, like, they do have a connection, but, like, yeah, it definitely, in this moment, it's like, how much is too much? Like, are you, like, is he comfortable with this? Like, I don't know. It's like they're trying to figure out.
To feel the other person out, yeah.
Yeah, to feel each other out in this moment. And it, but once, once Alberto leaves, Paul's like, is there a lock on the door? And she's like, no. And he's like, well, okay, well, maybe I should just better stay here in case he comes back.
Yeah. And she's like, okay. So they go to sleep. And then in the middle of the night,
he has another nightmare. And this time he wakes up screaming Victoria's name. And she, like, she's trying to calm him down, and he's just like, no, okay, I'm, like, he's profusely apologizing.
He's always embarrassed about,
like,
it.
He's embarrassed, and, you know, he's, but yeah.
Shaken.
He's definitely shaken. Well, and yeah, but he's just, you know, he's doing that thing. He's like, I'm just so sorry. He's like, it's probably just all the changes, like, you know, coming back too soon and everything. And he's like, it's just all been too much. And it's like, before she has a chance to say anything, like, an alarm bell starts ringing on the grounds, and she jumps up and runs to the window, and he's like, what is that? And she just, with this panicked, horrified expression, just says, Frost. And, you know, they're like, basically hours away from harvesting.
Yeah.
And it's like, all of a sudden this frost has settled in. And so, like, they have got to do something quick or they could lose the entire harvest.
Yeah. So they go out and they do the butterfly wings with fire. they have, like, fires lit up, and in between all of the rows of vines, and they have these, like, beautiful, like, wing type things that they use to move the
air. Yeah, they're kind of like silk and wood, and they strap them on, like, wings, but it's, you know, everybody has a pair, and they're using them, you know, like fans, and, like, trying to pull the heat, you know, because the heat rises.
Yeah.
They're trying to, like, pull the heat back down on, like to warm the grapes and keep them from being frozen through.
Yeah.
And so, like, we go through this whole thing, like, it takes
most of the night,
and we cut back to, you know, we, like,
she, there's this beautiful moment where she's teaching him how to use the
wings. he does it a little incorrectly, and he ends up just, like, getting, like, billows of smoke in his face.
Yeah, so she
and she's knows. Like, no, like, watch me, and, like, and it's like, I mean, like, there, it's very beautiful, like, it's beautifully shot, and, like, there is something kind of, like, this is okay. This just occurred to me. It's, like, probably, like, the best way to explain a lot of the interactions between Paul and Victoria is very sensual.
Yeah, that's fair.
It's like that. That's the best way to describe it.
Especially in this
particular scene. Like, it's, you know, he's walking behind her, and, you know, you've got, like, it's beautifully lit, like, with the firelight, and, you know, she's in this, you know, silk nightgown, and, you know, he's in, you know, he's in just, like, his trousers and, like, and a, like, an undershirt, and it, like, there, it's just very, like, it's gorgeously shot.
Yeah.
And, like, them walking, you know, through the vineyard together.
And Papa sees it and is not happy.
Oh, he's so not happy.
I say that many times in my notes. Papa's not happy to
this. Yeah.
But, like, yeah, so.
And, yeah, so the next
day, like, it's early morning, and he's packing up, and she's like, well, the bus doesn't come till 11. He goes, yeah, but if I wait till 11, there's going to be questions. And it's easier to just go now. So he starts to leave, and Don Pedro
intercepts him.
And Don Pedro sees him going and, like, put that down, come walk with me, but bring
the chocolate.
So they go for a walk through the vineyard up to where the root is, and
to the root vine, and because Don Pedro is, you know, like, Don Pedro is kind of explaining, you know, one, he's like, okay, like, you know, you kind of have to forgive my son, you know, for being a bit of an ass.
Yeah.
You know, it gives, you know, for these reasons. And, you know, and, like, and they walk through the vineyard. He takes him up to the root vine, and he's saying that, you know, like, our ancestors, they brought this root from Spain, you know, however many years ago. And, you know, they brought this with them to America. And it is, you know, it is the, checking my notes to see if I had it written down, but, you know, he's explaining to Paul, he says, you know, like, this, you know, this root, like, this is our family. And he says, and now, like, it's your family too. He's like, you're an orphan no longer.
Yeah. That's what I wrote down. You're an orphan no longer.
Yeah. You're an orphan no longer.
And then he asks him to stay, because if you leave, he will beat he'll beat his daughter with it. Like, he will
be like, yeah,
her.
It's like, because Paul, you know, Paul is saying, he's like, okay, like, you know, oh, this is beautiful, this is touching. It's like, but, like, man, I gots to go.
Yeah.
And
I have business.
Yeah. It's like, you know, I have commitments. Yeah. Like, I have commitments. And so Don Pedro tells Paul, he's like, yes, you know, like Alberto said, the first chance the gringo gets, he'll leave her. And he's like, well, no, it's, you know, but like, I've got, I have business. Like, I have things that I have to do. And Don Pedro just like, once again, is kind of like emphasizing to him. He's like, yes, but like, you also have commitments to your family. He's like, you know, if you leave now, like when we are about to harvest, like he will like throw this in her face for the rest of her life.
To which I said, wield that guilt, Grandpa. Mm-hmm. Wield it well.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And so he winds up staying.
Yep, Paul deviates from the plan and he agrees to stay. He's like, well, okay, like just for the harvest.
Just one more day.
Just, you know, just for the harvest.
And so they're gearing to start the harvest and Pedro comes home.
I love Pedro Jr.
Pedro Jr. comes home and pulls in his car.
I have to say, Pedro Jr., played by Freddie Rodriguez, who I bloody love that man. Like, one from this, but also because I watched him on 5 seasons of 6 Feet Under. And holy shit, he is so good as Rodrigo. And I, like, he is one of my favorite characters in 6 Feet Under. And, like, I love Freddie Rodriguez so fucking much. Sorry. I'm like, I just have to, like, I love him. I really, really do.
And he's a really fun, like, I don't want to say second banana, but he's kind of like a supporting character. That's the best
right. Yeah, you know, he's the little brother. Like, yeah. he's come home to help.
With the harvest.
Yeah, he's come home from school to help with the harvest.
Everyone's like, Pedro! And everybody gets hugged. And then she's like, this is my husband. And he's like, Victoria, you got married? And, like, throws his arms around his sister.
Oh,
he's
yeah.
like,
I'm so happy he's for so you. He's so excited.
And then he goes, I'm Pete.
Introduces himself to Paul.
And Papa Alberto loses.
He's like, Pete, I don't know.
I don't pay college tuition for Pete. I will cancel that check then.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah, it's just a, like.
And Paul just immediately smooths it over. He's like, nice to meet you, Pedro.
And everybody grins at him except yeah. for Alberto. But yeah, so then they go start the harvest, the manly bondings, as we talked about them in the wedding planner.
Like, we do the manly bonding,
which is kind of sort of what's happening here.
Well, it's
because they're teaching him how to harvest the grapes, like they, you know, you cut and he and the dad get into this stupid, like,
oh, it gets competitive.
The Paul, two of them get Paul competitive. And Alberto no get one else is competitive.
Oh, yeah. Everybody else is like,
Pedro's over in the corner laughing at them.
Yes.
Pete is over in the corner laughing at them.
And Don Pedro is just kind of like, you know, he kind of like a smile and like, and the women are all basically just like, I can't think of the word.
Victoria is laughing at them. Like, she openly laughed and kept walking.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Victoria laughed. Like, the women. Okay, I found the word that I was looking for. Like, you know, Abuelita and, you know, and Mama and like, all of them. It's just very, like, the women are giving their men very kind of indulgent smiles. Yeah. Just kind of like, oh, dude, you go ahead.
Yeah.
Like, you do what you have to, yeah. you know.
So they finish, like, the two of them are harvesting, and they harvest all day, and then they pour it into the big
vat.
Yeah. And only the married women apparently are allowed to stomp on the grapes, which is cool. And Grandma does a thing that because she's Aztec.
Yes.
And so she blows to the four winds. Yeah.
Like, my wife's family, the Aztecs, they believe you need
the permission.
You need the blessing of the four winds
yeah.
in order to.
And so they do like a blessing on it, basically. And then the only the married ladies get to get in and dance for their men.
I love it. Yeah, the like her Victoria's mother is just like, Victoria, come on, like you're a married woman now.
And he's like, but you're not.
I love so like you know, so Victoria, like she just grabs Paul by the hand and like they go like running up to the vat and I cannot remember the line. Oh no, like I remember Paul says, well, you know, what about Pedro? And she's like, well, Pedro's not married. And he just kind of stops and pulls her in and goes, neither are we.
Yeah.
And I love, she just
kind of, but he's like smiling. Yeah. Like, what's going on?
And she just kind of grins at him and like kicks off her shoes and like, and he helps her, you know, he picks her up and puts her into the vat. And so, you know, like there's music and laughter and just, you know, all of these women.
The women
like,
are all dancing for their husbands. Essentially.
Yeah. They're dancing for their husbands. And then
while stomping the grapes,
and, you know, and like everybody's singing and the, you know, there's dancing and, you know, and like everybody's kind of clapping and it's just this fun kind of very like jovial, joyful, yeah. Yeah, like jovial kind of like very very light and happy atmosphere. And then I love, like, Paul essentially gets hazed and, like, all, you know, like, the other men, like, come, like, pick him up and, like, they take, like, their whole, like, I love they're just holding him aloft and the women in the vat
take off
come up
shoes.
And, like, take off his shoes and the men just, like, toss him in. And then the ladies, like, some, you know, half of the ladies grab him and half of the ladies grab Victoria. And they keep, like, bringing them, like, so close together and then, like, pulling them apart. And then it just, like, somebody slips and it just turns into a free-for-all.
Yeah, I was like, Keanu is now in a pile of women.
Yes!
Because, like, he literally takes one over his shoulder and brings her down into the grips in front of him. Like, I was like, looks like he's actually trying to fight these women for a split second.
And he and Victoria, like, she at one point literally, like, scoops up, like, this giant handful of grapes and, like, starts stuffing them, like, down his shirt.
Yeah.
And he's throwing grapes at her and, like, they're just, like, they're splashing each other with all of this juice. And, like, and then it cuts and we see she is, like, she's running into, like, she's running back into the bedroom and he's
right behind her.
He's chasing after her and, like, they both just have
they're laughing. Yeah.
They're laughing and they're both so, they have these carefree expressions on their faces and, like, there is so much happiness and joy in this moment and, like, and that's when they come together and
And they start kissing.
Like, yeah, like, they start kissing, and
it almost goes too far.
It almost, like, he, you know, he's laying her down on the bed, and she, like, she's hungry for him.
Yeah.
Is the best way to describe it. And that's when, you know, finally he's just like, oh, wait. He puts on the
like, because they stop and look at each other for a second, and he catches himself, and comes back,
and
the quote was so good.
I have it.
Yeah.
Cause that's, you know, Paul, like, he stops and he kind of turns away and he says, like, it's like, I want you more than anything, Victoria. You can't imagine how much I want you, but I'm not free. And I won't hurt you that way. I won't.
And then, like, he leaves the bedroom.
And he leaves.
And goes and sleeps in the living room, basically, in the den.
Yeah.
And next morning comes and Pedro and, not Don Pedro, but Pete and, his father are arguing over modernizing the place and things they could do. And as soon as Paul hears them, he jumps up and, like, pulls his suspenders back on and, like, stands up and he's like, morning guys. And they're both like, now
Alberto is real suspicious.
Yeah. Alberto's real suspicious about all of it now. Papa doesn't know when to be quiet.
Basically, the kind of like how, like, because they end up getting into, like, a very big, like, heated argument, and the way that it kind of starts is because Pedro's been making suggestions of, like, you know, like, Daddy, like, we could take on all these partners, and Alberto says, it's like, you take on partners, you take on trouble, and Paul says, well, you know, you could get a loan from the bank, and Alberto just turns on him and is like, don't think for a second that because, like, you married into this family that any of this is yours.
It's your business.
Like, don't think that it's, like, any of this is your business. And, like, it is, like, you know, what kind, and, like, I can't remember all of it, and, like, it's a very fast, like, heated conversation, so it was hard to get a lot of it
down. Well, then Victoria comes in and it's like, don't speak to him that way, basically. Like,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
He hasn't earned your.
Well, your hire. And, like, I can't remember. He gets snappish about Victoria, and Paul immediately comes to her defense, and he's like, "What do you like? She came back here."
Like, she storms out of the room.
Yeah.
That part.
And then
he says, she came back here because he's, why'd you even come back with more stuff than you left? With the same amount of stuff you left with. Don't think I didn't notice that you basically brought everything home.
Yeah.
And she storms out, and that's when Paul says the
thing. Paul comes back and he's like, she came back here because she came home because she loves her family. Like, because, like, she loves you. And Alberto, like, just immediately just, like, snarls at him. Just like, stay out of our business. She is my business.
Yeah.
And so, like, Paul kind of, that's when Paul is basically like, okay, it's time to get out of here.
Well, that his hat, the dad's hat that he's been looking for the whole time, goes, here's your hat, and hands it to him, basically,
because
it's been sitting right there the whole time. So he's like, weren't you looking for this? And then he kind of walks out.
Yeah,
so Paul is leaving,
And yeah, he's trying to get.
Well, trying to leave.
He's yeah, man. I do love this moment because his because as we mentioned, you know, Victoria threw up on his uniform. And so Abuelita, you know, the grandmother, she is, she's doing laundry and like, she grabs his uniform and is about to like throw it in the wash tub. And he's like, no, no, no. Like I need it. And she's like, no, it smells. And he's like, but I have somewhere to be. And like, and she, you know, she tells him, she's like, you must see it through. See what through? It's like, your fate. Whatever brought you here. He's like, well, nothing brought me here.
And
like,
I brought me here.
He's like, I brought me here. And like, without saying another word, just like dumps his uniform into the wash bin. And it's just
and
like,
walks away.
And just like walks, just basically kind of, you know, like, yeah.
Clap your hands. I feel like Don Pedro was like, Abuelita, make sure they don't leave. Don't make sure you yeah. can't leave today, honey. You make sure that's taken care of. Like, and so then you see, you see Victoria going out to the car, and all of a sudden she sits down and holds her stomach.
Yeah, she kind of doubles
and
over.
He like drops everything and bolts.
Yes,
to make sure she's okay.
Yes,
like it because he's the only person who knows
that at this point. Yeah, he's the only person that knows that she's pregnant, and so like he sees her like she doubles over like her stomach is cramping, and she like she's very like you can tell she's obviously in pain.
Yeah,
and she sits down on kind of like it's like. Not really like a fountain. It's just sort of maybe it is a fountain.
It's like a there's like a tree in it. Like it's built around a tree.
Okay, sorry, but yeah, there's a small sort of like stone sort of
yeah sort of wall thing.
Yeah, sort of like yeah wall around the tree. And so like she sits down on it, and he was in the process of like trying to like take his soaking wet uniform, like trying to pull it out of the wash tub, and that's when he sees her across the courtyard, and he immediately just drops everything, and it's like basically he's like jumping over hurdles and yeah. like anything in his way, he will run right through
and
it
he
right
gets
now.
To it
and like he gets to her,
he checks on her, and she's like, you should already be gone, like you're not supposed to be here, here are the keys to the car, we're done, you need to go.
Yeah, she's like, he's like, we had a plan, and like,
and he's like, well, I can stay, make sure you're okay. She's like, no.
He's like you know what is, you know, like I can stay another day, or like, you know, I can stay. And she's like, okay, like for how long? Another day, a week, a month? She's like, when, you know, when, Paul? Like, when would
yeah,
you,
how, it's time, buddy.
Yeah, like, it's time. And she gets up, and, like, you see her walk into, or, you know, she's like, she walks off, and he goes to follow her.
He starts not to, and then he turns and chases her. And so she gets a little bit away from him, and he starts yelling for Victoria when he walks in the room.
Yeah, they're in, I cannot.
It's like the room with the, where the wine is fermented.
Yeah, they, all of, like, the casks of wine are stored. And so, like, he and Alberto, like, start having another confrontation.
Yeah, cause that's when Alberto says, just because you married my daughter doesn't mean you own any of this.
Yeah.
And that's never been a thing.
Yeah. And Paul, you know, Paul kind of, like, again, like, this scene just, it happened so quickly, and I wasn't able to get all of it down. And, like, fuck you, IMDb. Like, you should have this, you should have this quote, because it's amazing. But, you know, they start fighting, and Paul basically just, he's like, Paul tells him, he's like, you know, it's like, I went to war, and it's like, to be able to do the things that I had to do, it's like, I closed myself off. He's like, what's your excuse?
Yeah.
And Alberto's like, what do you mean? And he's like, it's like, do you not see? It's like, do you not see, like, your daughter, like, Victoria, like, she does everything, like, trying to prove her love to you, like, and you just don't see it. And he's like, you just pay no attention. And that's when, like, Alberto, like he kind of, like, gestures, like, out the window. And he's like, all of this, it's like, this is, like, 365 days a year. He's like, this is all, like, this requires, like, all of my attention. He's like, I do this for my family. And it's like, you know, and like, I can't remember, but at some point, like, Alberto says, he's like, you don't know anything about my daughter. And that's when Paul says, it's like, you know, like, I know... You know, like, Paul makes the comment, he's like, you know, that, like, I know, like, she's so easy to love, and, like, and you just won't allow her to. And Paul says, he's like, you know, I know that she is good and strong and deserves all the love the world has to give. Can't you see that? How wonderful, how special she is. And I love, like, Victoria is in this room. Like, they can't see her, but yeah. I love that, like, she's overhearing all of it. And they just basically kind of come to, like, an impasse. And Paul leaves. And he goes. And he grabs his soaking wet uniform.
Puts it in his bag.
And I do love just his bag is dripping now.
Yeah. And as on his way out, Don Pedro stops him full of brandy and then gets him full of brandy.
Yeah, I was like, these
Don Pedro is determined this dude is
staying. Yeah.
Like, Don Pedro likes him. He ships it. It's not ending.
Like, I love the difference between Alberto and Don Pedro, because, like, Alberto sees this stranger as, you know, he sees Paul, you know, this stranger to his land, you know, this, like, usurper, like, as someone who
stole his daughter.
Who stole his daughter. And Don Pedro sees him as, like, as, like, a young man without a family, and our family, like, you know, our arms are wide enough, like, you know, come into this group.
Well, because Alberto actually says earlier in the movie to his wife, he stole her.
Yeah.
And she responds with, just like, you stole me from my papa? Like, come on, that's not fair. Yeah. In no way is that fair. And so everybody's calling him on it, yeah, and he's not willing to accept it.
Yeah. And so Don Pedro gets Paul, like, they get completely off their faces on brandy. they get, like I said, completely off their faces on brandy, and Don Pedro is, you know, because they're, I love the fact that, like, there are so many, you know, there are so many workers, like, at this vineyard, and, you know, just all of the people they have kind of on their staff, and apparently this staff includes, you know, people to just, like, play music whenever, because they apparently don't have radios.
Yeah.
And so Don Pedro, he's in kind of,
wouldn't be traditional to have radios. So Alberto probably doesn't allow them.
But yeah, like, they literally have, like, there's, I think, like, four dudes, like, yeah, who were just there, like, with music, and, like, they're singing this song, and Don Pedro is translating it for Paul as they're singing, yeah, it. And so then they end up teaching the song to Paul, because basically, like, everybody sees, you know, like, things are tense, and, like, it's like, oh, like, you're in a little bit of hot water, like, here, like, we're gonna smooth that over.
You're gonna go serenade her at her window, and when the light comes on, you're in, basically.
Yeah.
And they get Keanu to sing. Now, remember previously when I said I love Keanu Reeves? Gonna tell you up front, that does not include his singing voice.
Mm-mm.
And it needs to, like, Kia, look, if you look.
Uh-huh. Wait, I can't, yeah, read the word.
No singing, no, Keanu. I put it in all caps in my notes. Like, no, this is not a thing that I enjoy, but it is really funny to watch him awkwardly muddle through.
But yeah, this, like, Victoria is awake. She hears, yeah, she hears the serenading. You know, Mom and Dad are awake. They, you know, they hear, and I love, like, the two of them crammed in that tiny bed. It's such a, yeah, it's so visually funny.
Yeah.
And like, she wakes up Alberto and is basically just like, listen to what our son-in-law is doing. And, you know, like, and you know, they're listening to the serenade, and, like, basically everybody in this place knows what's going on. Like, what
they're all grinning like idiots.
Yes. Everybody is just, everybody is so in, and they're watching him.
Even Alberto goes, he must really love her. Yeah. So Alberto has accepted it now.
Yeah. Like, he's finally, like, okay. Like, he started to come around, and so Paul, you know, like, they go on playing, and Paul eventually just kind of stops singing, and he is just intently staring at this window.
Mm-hmm.
And Victoria is in there. She is in the room. She is awake. She's gotten out of bed. She's walked across the room. She has her hand on the light switch, but stands there listening.
Yep.
And because, like, it's just, I don't know. Like, I love this bit.
Yeah.
I'm just, like, she's standing there, and it cuts back to him, and he's just waiting and waiting. And finally, he breaks, and he picks up his stuff and walks away.
And he's
away.
Halfway across the vineyard when he sees the light come on, and he keeps walking.
Yeah.
Because he has responsibilities.
Yeah. He keeps walking. And it had been mentioned earlier that, you know, like, they would be having, like, there would be a harvest festival.
They're going to the festival
the next day. To a harvest festival the next day. And so, you know, kind of it's in sort of like a town square, yeah. And he's there in his uniform. He's
watching from afar.
He, you know, he's kind of run into some other soldiers. They're all just kind of like hanging around waiting for the bus. And so he sees, you know, the Aragons, you know, come yeah. in and watching, just, you know, watching the events happen and sort of like, you know, the harvest blessing and, you know, the tasting of the wine, you know, all of this stuff going on. And, you know, and Victoria sees him, mm-hmm. kind of watch, spots him. She sees him watching from the balcony and they do the, they give the blessing and then that's when, you know, she turns and looks and he's gone and she sees him later yeah. and she brings over like a little thing of wine mm-hmm. and she's, you know, before you go, you know, how about a toast? And he says, you know, a toast to what? To what if? And you know, to what if? And I had forgotten about the toast, and I was like, oh, damn. Okay, that's good.
Yeah. And then Alberto comes over and is like,
well, before I think it's before
Alberto comes over to introduce the priest.
Yeah.
Because the last they're drinking their toast when Alberto comes over.
Right. Okay.
And Alberto introduces the priest and he's like, this is my daughter's husband. Oh, you got married. I always thought I would give to give you in marriage. And he's like, you can. Hey, everybody.
Yeah,
you're invited to a wedding. My daughter's getting married tonight. Everybody be
like,
there.
I'm like, and I will take it as a personal insult if you are and all not there.
Then they wander off and he goes, we need to tell him. And she's like, no, I need to. So Paul leaves to go home to his wife and she goes to come clean.
But it's in this that he also like he gets out his yeah. stuff and he hands her a medal.
Bronze Star.
Yeah, he hands her a Bronze Star. And she's like, well, what did you get this for? And he says, you know, for courage under fire. And he tells her, he's like, I want you to give it to the baby. And she just kind of, you see her kind of melt for a second. And then she just tells me, Paul Sutton, like, you were the most honorable man I've ever known. And you and I were both just like, yes!
And then they exchange one last kiss.
Yes.
And go their separate ways. He watches her. You see her tell her family. You don't hear it. And you watch Alberto storm off. And then he just turns and walks away.
Yeah.
And makes his way back home. Although we do get the title of the movie.
We get the line of, yeah. Because
he gets Paul, picked up by
a. Paul's hitchhiking yeah, and he gets picked up by a guy in a truck. And he says, you know, he's like, where have you been? And Paul's like, walking in the clouds. And the guy's just like, oh, well, welcome back to Earth. And, you know, they take off.
And he gets home and Betty's got another man in bed.
Oh, well, hold on. He falls asleep in the truck. Yeah. And so we see once again, like this nightmare that he's been yeah. having, but this time the war and like, you know, all of like these dead bodies and the smoke and the fires and just everything, it fades away to there's Victoria and there's her son and Paul, you know, they're like in his, you know, in his dress uniform and not like his combat fatigues.
Yeah. And they're gesturing for him. And he's
yeah. Like they're holding out. Yeah. They're holding out their hands. And so he walks up and takes the little boy's hand and he, and like the three of them are like walking off toward the horizon.
Yeah. And he
wakes up and it's the first time that we've yeah. seen him have, you know, awaken from one of these dreams that he doesn't awaken like violently.
Yeah.
And it's that, yeah. Then after that, like that's
he gets
when
home and Betty's in bed with the elocution teacher.
Yep.
And she's like, I finally read your letters. And if I'd have read them earlier, I'm so sorry. Yeah. We don't belong together.
Yeah. We want different things. We want different lives. It was like, here, I got an annulment.
And I'm like, oh, that's good. They can still get married in the Catholic Church if it's annulled. Yeah. Just saying, make dad happy.
Yep.
So, because my first thought, I told you this when we're watching it, I was like, well, they're gonna get divorced, but like a divorce means you can't get married again mm-hmm. in the Catholic Church. And so
I just thought an annulment like, would be thing. Easiest.
Yeah, that's the whole like Church of England thing. That's the whole point.
But, yeah.
But yeah, so they get the annulment and he okay and signs it, walks away, and she yells at him, are you okay? And he's standing in the middle of traffic. It's like, I'm fine.
It's like, yeah,
I feel fine.
It's like, I'm fine.
And he walks back and to the vineyard, basically.
Huge grin and, like, just immediately starts, like, hitchhiking back to Napa.
And he makes it back to the vineyard, and he goes to see her father, who is drunk off his butt.
Like, oh, yeah, Alberto.
Head table drunk. And he shows up and he tells him he's here to ask for her hand in marriage because she's like the heir to me.
Yeah. She's like the heir to me.
And he's like, but
I've
you're already.
I've come to ask you for her
hand in marriage. You're already married. And he's like, no, I'm not.
It's null.
Alberto don't want to hear it. He's mad. And he wants something to take his anger out on.
I love, like, because Alberto, like, is just screaming at him. And Alberto is like, it's not even your child that she carries. It will be if she'll have me.
Yeah.
And Paul just starts screaming for Victoria. And she's asleep and wakes up.
The sound of his voice, she's immediately awake.
Yes. And like, she's
up and running. Like,
she's, yeah, up and running.
And then the whole house is up and running.
Yep. And like, she takes off. And like, so she's running through the compound. And she's like, screaming Paul. And she's like, no. Like, I love him.
But Alberto's fighting him tooth and nail. He's like, no, you have another wife. You da-da-da-da-da. He's just, you lied to me. Like, he is just angry, like, and drunk.
Like, he is angry and, like, his honor has, like, his like, the honor of his family has been besmirched. So,
he swings a lantern at him and misses pretty badly, hits the grapes, sets everything on fire.
And without a second's hesitation, Paul immediately, like, it goes up on the grapes go up in flames, and like, Alberto is just like there, horrified of like, oh fuck,
what did I just do?
He is frozen with fear, and Paul just immediately races to the fire, takes off his jacket, and starts trying to smother the flames.
And when that doesn't work, he takes off his shirt and puts it in the water and goes out there.
Yes.
And that's by that time she has gotten up there, and she takes off her night jacket, her night coat, and does the same thing. And then everybody joins in. Alberto is still sitting there for most of it.
Yeah.
And then he tries to fight his way through, and it's all like, there's just this whole fighting the fire scene.
Yes.
Because it rapidly spreads and burns everything.
Mm-hmm.
And Pedro gets caught on fire, and, you know, Pete gets caught on fire, and, you know, luckily Paul tackles him, stop, drop, and rolls,
like,
him.
Well, because what it is like, Pedro's, he's gotten trapped.
Yeah.
So and he ducks, like, he's cut off, and he ducks under the vines to, you know, to try to get through, and like, his pajamas catch on fire, and he takes off running, and Paul's just like, no, stop, and like, tackles him and like, puts out the fire, and then like, they have to like, jump over another bit of fire to like, finally like, get to safety, and Paul is just there with him, like, every second.
I wrote, this is sad, you know, sad scene with all this happening, but a hot, sweaty Keanu does make me feel better. Probably not everyone else.
You and I both were just like, like, we were very appreciative.
Well, I mean, and some people get better with age, and Keanu started good and has gotten better, so there's not a lot to
go. Yeah, it's like I said, it's the David Boreanaz, like, scale.
Yeah.
Of, like, that man has just gotten, like, you know, like a scotch that has aged for decades. It's like that, like David Boreanaz. And like, Keanu Reeves, he's also on this sliding scale.
But anyway, so the fire finally burns mostly down. Paul's once white undershirt is now black,
completely black, and like, everybody is just like,
covered.
Everybody's covered in soot and sweat. And
Don Pedro says that the vineyard's finished.
He said so there's no rootstock left to replant, and that's when Paul, you just see kind of a light bulb, and he just walks off, and you see him walking, you know, through like, the charred remains of the vineyard,
the still smoking vineyard,
which I loved. Because, and I never paid attention to it before, but like, when you see, like, as he's walking through the vineyard, there are still like, small fires kind of burning, and like, with the smoke and the darkness, like, and it, how it juxtaposes with his nightmares of like the smoke and the fire, and like, being on like, this beach that he was on.
Yeah.
And so, but now, like, he's awake, and this is real, and this is the moment, and he walks through the vineyard, and he goes to the root vine that Don Pedro had showed him earlier.
Yeah.
And it's smoldering, but he's able to, he pulls it from the ground and carries it back to Alberto. And he says, you know, did the fire reach inside? And Alberto cuts off a small piece and sees that underneath the bark, like, it's still white, like, it's still, it's still alive. And so he, like, you know, he makes the announcement. He's like, you know, it lives, you know, Las Nubes lives. And like, everybody is rejoicing. And Alberto, he cuts off a part of the root, and like, and he gives it to Paul. And he says, he cuts off this piece and he says, "This is the root of your life, of your family. You were bound to this land by commitment, by honor, by love. Plant it. It will grow." And Paul just kind of is like, but I don't know how. And I love, like, Alberto just actually laughs. And then he calls to Victoria. And it's like, "Victoria, help your husband."
And everybody,
yeah. And so,
that means Alberto's accepted it.
And so, yeah. So Paul and Victoria kind of come together. And, you know, and he just has this root in his hands. And she kind of, like, takes his hands in hers. And, like, I love that, like, he also, like, takes out, like, he has the rings, you know, the chocolate foil bands that they had, and, like, he puts it on her finger, and, like, and then, like, they have a kiss, and that's where, like, it fades out, and the last shot that we get is, like, the vineyard, like, healthy and thriving.
It goes from being charred to thriving as the end comes up.
Yes. Yeah. And, like, you know, that's where it ends, and there's always been a part of me that I'm, like, I get it, but, like, fuck, I want more. Like, and, you know, this was way before, like, you know, fanfic was really a thing. Like, shit, man, I don't think the internet was really much of a thing back then.
I don't think they were going to make a fanzine just for this movie.
Right. But I'm like, there's a part of me, like, watching this today, I'm like, fuck, I'm like, please, like, somebody has to have written, like, a Walk in the Clouds fanfic. I'm like, I need it. If it doesn't exist, I'm going to write the goddamn thing
myself.
Well,
there you go.
But I just, rewatching this today, I was like, fuck, I had forgotten just how much I love this movie. Is it cheesy?
Yeah.
Yeah. Is it, as I said, tropes the movie? Yes.
Yeah.
Do I care?
No. And for a tropes the movie, it is beautifully shot. The acting in it is very well done.
And there, like, don't get me wrong, there are definitely a few moments in this movie that I'm like, Keanu.
Like, everything with Keanu, though, you can let go because of he's a soldier with PTSD. Like, right. So literally everything I hate to say it, but, like, any woodenness in his performance can be attributed to the fact that he is still readjusting to life.
But there are moments in this movie, like, when he is, like, fired up and passionate, I'm just like, Jesus, dude. Like, oh my God.
Yep.
He, like, it is a this movie is melodramatic as shit. And, like, it makes no apologies for that. And it doesn't need to. I'm like, because I don't care. Like, it doesn't need to make apologies. But, like, some of these moments, like, where he is so fired up and passionate, like, it is honestly, like, some of the best, like acting I've seen him do. Because, like, you know, most of his movies are, you know, like, The Matrix and, like, John Wick, they're very action-adventure movies. And so to have him in a film, like, where he gets to be, you know, romantic and, you know, contemplative and, like, you know, it's not just hurry, 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 you know, fight, fight, fight. I love it. And rewatching it today, I'm like, I appreciate this movie so much more now.
It's so funny because, like, I watched Destination Wedding recently, which is him and
Winona
Ryder. And it's a very different character. Like,
yes.
Million times different. He's a snarky asshole.
Yeah.
In that
movie. Still haven't watched it, and I need to.
And that's one of the things I like about that and this is there's both sides to him that you don't get to see very often.
Yes.
Because, like, I love John Wick. Let me make that real clear. Like, I haven't seen the third one, but the first two, he does do some very subtle acting that you don't expect. But he's also an action star in those. And his stunts are unbelievably amazing and all that kind of stuff. But, yeah, I love to see, like, it's why I love The Lake House. Because other than the scene where he cries in The Lake House, he does a very good job in The Lake House. Sorry, that's the one scene that doesn't work.
I'm with you.
But and this is really the same way. There's a couple of, like, more stilted deliveries.
Yeah.
But once again, I was like, okay, he's also just returning, and he also knows he's got a wife at home. Like, there's a lot of internal stuff that, for me, explains away some of the more stilted. Yeah, more stilted stuff. Granted, there's also lots of other movies that I like that are much worse. So.
Same. So, do you think they stay together?
Oh, yeah. If not, Don Pedro and Alberto kill him and bury him in the backyard.
He fertilizes the grapes.
He's part of the land now.
So what do you rate this movie then?
Okay, this is the first time I've seen it, so I'm I'm not gonna, like, I'm gonna just say four.
Mm-hmm.
Because the first time I've seen it, it...
Like, it, definitely all the way through.
Yes. It may be a 3.5 or a 4.5, but I'm gonna say four.
Mm-hmm.
Just to be like, okay, because I'm not sure how I'll feel on a rewatch kind mm-hmm. of thing. So, that I'm gonna go four.
I'm, having seen this movie dozens of times over my life, I'm giving it a hard four. Like, it's, I don't think it, like, it's not perfect, and it definitely leans heavily into the melodrama. So, otherwise, like, I would tip it up to 4.5, but four is good. Four is honorable. Like, four is decent. You know, it's, like, it's well earned. So, I'm very happily, like, giving it a four. And, like, I love it a lot. I do. Like, unabashedly. And I've recently seen, and it might be because of, you know, the popularity of the John Wick movies and things. Like, I have seen some posts about this movie on Tumblr because people are like, hey, Keanu, like, this is pretty great. Like, what else has he done?
Everybody loves Keanu.
Everybody loves Keanu Reeves.
You're amazing. You're amazing. Sorry. I love, that's one of my favorite things to ever happen.
I know. But yeah, the, like, so there's been, you know, I see an uptick in, like, you know, posts about a lot of his, like, older movies.
There's definitely been a resurgence of Keanu popularity since John Wick. Because The Matrix was, like, the height.
Yeah.
And, but the thing is, like, Keanu Reeves, if you read about him, he's just such a nice, like, laid-back dude.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, he rides the subway, and he's mm-hmm. Keanu Reeves.
Yeah. There's just been, like, a bit of, you know, like, a resurgence, and so I see posts about some of his older movies, like, on Tumblr and things, and I have recently, like, come across some, like, a couple of posts for A Walk in the Clouds,
nice.
And I saw somebody who was just like, why the fuck is Tumblr sleeping on this movie? I'm like, it's fake married, like, there's bed sharing, there's, you know, this, and I'm like, yes, we need to make, like, A Walk in the Clouds AU. It needs to be a thing, people. Like, come on, chop, chop, let's go. Like, I need it right now. But anyway, like, I could just, like, gush for hours about how much I love this movie, but, like, I think you've heard enough from me, so do you have anything else to add, Dolly?
Well, nope, that's it.
All right, then that will get it for this episode of Couch Buddies. As always, we thank you very much for listening, and we will catch you next time.
Bye!
Bye! If you enjoyed this episode of Couch Buddies, why not leave us a rating and review over on iTunes? And while you're at it, don't forget to hit the subscribe button on your podcast app so you never miss an episode. If you'd like to get in touch with us, you can find us by searching on social media. We're Couch Buddies Pod on Twitter, on Tumblr at couchbuddies.tumblr.com, and you can email us at couchbuddiespod@gmail.com.